This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila. And we are Spy Fat Chicks. And we've got Velcro here too, in case you hear snuffling, snorting, and or whatever it is that he does.
Yes. So we tried to record this at Razzmatazz earlier today outside. It started to get really windy and then really cloudy. And the last time we recorded outside and it was windy, we had to toss the episode and redo it.
And we still haven't really finished it yet.
Yeah, so it's a soda episode that's never going to end. We're going to finish it someday. We might have to redo it at this point, though. But anyway, we're going to talk about fish and chips today, and fried fish in general.
Yes. So, Tracy set this up before, so I guess I'll do it this time.
It's your turn.
Okay. On this corner, on Colburn Street in Orillia, we have Bounty Fish and Chips. And in this corner, on Mississauga Street in Orillia, we have Tor's Fish and Chips. Ding, ding!
Round one. Okay, these are two fish and chip places in Orillia that we're both really fond of. We want to talk about both of them, but it's kind of like the battle of the fish and chips restaurants.
We literally pretty much alternate.
Yeah.
Whenever we want to go, we go alternating.
And it depends on what day it is, too, because one's open some days and one's not open on other days.
Or open later.
Let's talk about Tours first, which I think might be Sheila's favorite.
I don't know. I like Bounty a lot. And Bounty has really good deals.
Yeah.
Tours is definitely a little bit more expensive. But they have really, really awesome clam and chips. I love clams and chips.
Let's go over what you see when you first walk into Tours.
Okay, so you walk in and there is like a nautical theme. Everything is painted blue and there's little borders up with fish on them. And there is places to sit. You can either sit in and eat. You can take it out.
No delivery.
No delivery.
That would be too irresistible. Fish and chips delivered to my door. Woo!
Oh my goodness. I'd never leave the house.
I know.
And that would be bad, because there's so many more other places out there. So you walk in, there's a chalkboard with the menu on it, and you order at the counter and pay, and then go and sit and wait for either your food to be ready to take out or for your food to come and sit.
That's it. When you walk in, cash debit. They do catering as well, though it's not like fish and chips catering. They're actual real caterers there, too.
I think one of the cooks there is a chef, because he was advertising a Robbie Burns dinner, and it mentioned that he had trained in Scotland.
So you can always look them up if you're looking for something to cater something in the area. Their menu has, obviously, fish on it, a good deal of fish. They have salads. You can get a Caesar salad with chicken or shrimp on it, a Greek salad, a garden salad. They have all the good fried stuff. Chips, which by chips in this episode, every time we say chips, we're talking about French fries. We're not talking about the tasty, crispy things you put in dip. Onion rings, mushy peas are
it's
an appetizer or a side. Okay.
And it's exactly what it sounds like.
Okay. That's what I thought.
You know somewhere, it is near and dear to some granny's heart.
I know.
And that's probably why
they still offer it. And poutine, which their poutine isn't made with cheese curd, it's made with shredded mozzarella, but it's darn good poutine. Their gravy's good, it's not really salty. If you order the poutine, it is a giant helping of poutine. It's not a little tiny boat of poutine.
Right.
And there are two sizes for the poutine,
it's
the small and the large.
Poutine.
I think we've only ever gotten the small, and it's still a pile of poutine. Now, for the fish, they have halibut, clam, and shrimp, and they do chicken fingers as well. You can get it just as a lunch size, which is half a piece, which is still huge. That's usually what we get. And there's a dinner size, which is more. And then there's the hungry man, which I don't want to know how much is with the hungry man.
Aaron-sized.
Yeah.
That would be the five.
Yeah.
So on the one to five scale of portions, it's pick your portion,
pretty much. It's 3 through 5. I've never walked away from the place hungry.
Yeah.
And they'll let you substitute for a little bit more poutine and for your chips instead, which I've done before. And again, you get a pile of food. They do clam chowder, and then they have sandwiches, halibut on a bun, and grilled cheese, that sort of thing. Now, we've never gotten dessert there. They have a sticky toffee pudding for dessert.
Now, that's another Britishism. I've actually never had it, but I've heard it's very good.
Is it like a bread pudding, or is it a pudding pudding?
No, it's not like a British pudding. It's a dessert pudding.
Okay, so it's not a bread pudding. Okay.
It's not a bread pudding, I don't think.
Okay.
I think it's more like a caramel pudding.
You're going to have to try it sometimes. It looks good.
Yeah. Well, remember that one episode of... It wasn't Hell's Kitchen, it's the other Gordon Ramsay one.
The F word?
Oh, no, not the F word. The one where he goes to the...
Kitchen Nightmares?
Yes. It was a British Kitchen Nightmares one where he was at this one place that was run by... It was all women that ran it, but there was a male chef and his sous chef was female.
Oh,
and she was way more talented than the actual... The guy was the head chef. And he ended up getting canned.
Whenever you watch Kitchen Nightmares, Gordon Ramsay goes into the place he's going to end up terrorizing. And for good reason. They usually deserve it. And he'll order what they consider their best things on the menu. He asks for recommendations. and the dessert was made by the sous chef, and that was the only thing he liked. And that's the only time I've ever seen him walk in someplace and actually like something in that first order when he's kind of assessing the situation.
Yeah, usually it's always crap.
This is rubbish! How can you serve this to people? Oh my god, this is raw!
It looks like barf!
But with more swearing, because it's Gordon Ramsay and that's what he does best. He swears and cooks.
Yes.
So, if you've never caught the show before, there's an Americanized version of it and there's the original British version of it.
Both are really, really good.
Very different.
The American ones, 9 times out of 10, the problem is always with the hygiene of the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. He goes in and I don't know what the deal is, if he picked it this way or if that's just how it ended up. But in the British one, it's usually the talent or ability of the chef.
And the managers aren't managing the place.
Right.
The owners aren't managing properly, yeah.
And in the American one, it's usually that, plus it's filthy and the food's cooked way ahead of time. And these are places that are in trouble anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So their food turnover isn't as fast as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
They make up a bunch of stuff way ahead of time. It goes bad. They serve bad food to people. People never come back. And it's just a never-ending vicious cycle.
Yeah, but it's an interesting show. If you're young and you're thinking about going into the food business, obviously go to school for it, get a good education in restaurant management and chef school and all that. But about once a year, sit down and watch a couple of these episodes to keep your mind in the right place so you don't make these mistakes. I really think it's something just like a good refresher course. You sit down and watch that and you say, oh God, is my restaurant doing that? I hope not.
Or you can actually do it as a test for yourself.
So,
if you can sit there and go, I can't effing believe they did that, then you're on the right track. You're like, I see nothing wrong with that. Maybe you should
call Gordon Ramsay now so he can come and swear at you and set you straight.
Yes.
So anyway, we've totally gotten off topic because neither of these places would be a place Gordon Ramsay would be needed. They're fantastic
right.
places. They are what they are. They're fish and chip restaurants.
And
don't judge them
to
not
Britain,
to be
but
anything
I'm
else.
Guessing they're kind of like that's what they look like on TV anyways.
Yeah. So
and, okay, I've never been there, but I really want to go someday.
But Tours, nice place. It's right on the main street in Orillia. You can sit by the window and watch people walk by. It's kind of cool.
Hmm.
Parking is a little limited because it is downtown. You'd either have to park in one of the municipal lots that are kind of on Colburn Street, or if you could find street parking, go for it. Staff is really friendly. The girl who's behind the counter is always really nice. The ladies in the kitchen, you can hear them yakking away.
Yeah,
they're always really nice.
It's a lady that actually owns it.
So it's really nice people in general. It's a good place to go for a quick lunch or a nice dinner if you want fish. Obviously,
yes.
If you don't like seafood, you may not be as happy there as us. So they have chicken fingers on the menu.
Yeah.
Vegetarians, if you're a no-animal vegetarian kind of thing, including fish,
if you're
lacto-ovo,
you're going to be happy.
Yeah, because they have, obviously, fish. Bounty, which in my heart edges out tourists just a tiny bit. And
we both like these places,
but we both
kind of, like, slant a little bit one way or the other.
Yeah. But I'm happy if Sheila's like puts her foot down and says, I want to go to Tours. Oh God, no, please don't throw me in that briar patch, you know?
With all that delicious, tasty fish.
I think the reason I like Bounty so much is because they do more than just halibut. They do different types of fish.
Mm.
Their menu looks almost identical. You have fish, you have your side order, so they have mushy peas too. Look, I never noticed that. Darn. I mean, they have onion rings and poutine and clam chowder and all that stuff. I don't believe they have any salads. It is a salad-free zone, which salad has its place. It's not going to break my heart if it's not there at a fish and chips place.
I really didn't expect it to have it to begin with.
Yeah.
But the mushy peas I did kind of expect to be there.
Fresh as you treat, Governor! For Bounty, they do halibut, they do cod, they do white ruffy, shrimp, scallops, and clams, and chicken fingers. So they do a little bit more variety on one end. The prices are almost the same between the two, except that Bounty does a lunch special with white ruffy chips and a small beverage, which is like a can of soda or
tea or coffee,
and it's between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at $6.50 every day. And
which is a pretty good deal.
If you go after 3 p.m., you can get the white ruffy and chips without the beverage for $6.50.
Which is still
a pretty good deal, but it's a good lunch special. That's one thing they don't see at Tours is they don't do lunch specials as much, but that's okay because the food's really good anyway, so I'm willing to go. But if you're on a budget and that's the determining
factor,
the white ruffy's really good. It's like a thin fish fillet with the fish and chips fish batter. And it's got like the extra crunchies on it, which is another reason probably why.
Tracy is a fan of the crunchies.
I like the crunchy bits. I'm excited when extra like fried batter, and we'll get to why later, like extra fried batter comes out on the fish. I'm like, ooh,
crunchies,
crunchies. So now when you walk into Bounty, you walk up, you can go sit down and they'll bring you menus unless you're going to order takeout. Then you go to the counter, they'll come take your order and bring you your food and you pay at the end. Kind of more like a sit down restaurant kind of atmosphere.
Yeah.
They have more of a nautical theme and the decoration when you walk in. They have a lot of cute little ships on the wall and everything.
They have booths that look like they should be in a galley somewhere.
Yeah. And they have a parking lot in the front and the back. So it's a little bit easier to find parking and at Bounty than Tours. The staff is really nice. We've been there.
It's usually always
more
like
than
a one waitress, one cook show, and they're always hopping.
They're always busy, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
You want to see a high turnover. Now, Bounty is open Monday through Saturday. They're closed on Sunday. And Bounty is actually open on Monday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through 30 till 8 p.m., and Friday they're open till 9 p.m. Tours is only open Tuesday through Saturday. They're closed Sunday and Monday. They're open to 7 every day except Friday. They're open till 8. So Bounty's open a little bit later. If you happen to be more of a night person, more often than not, you'll probably end up at Bounty. Or if you have your days off like we do, more I do Monday, Tuesday. Mm. You know, Monday if I'm craving fish and chips, there's only one place to go.
Yep.
What else do you want to add about the places? I mean, the fish, we should probably talk about the difference in the batter. Because Americans really don't see this type of fried fish as often, depending where they live. At least where I grew up.
See, the only American fish and chips experiences that I have is Long John Silver's.
Yes, which is the same kind of batter. So, depending where you live, this may be correct, this may not be. You may not have had the batter fried fish like they serve up here, which is more of a kind of British style. Long John Silver's, that kind of light and fluffy batter that's on the fish with the crunchy batter bits that come with it, that's kind of what we're talking about. And the batter up here is very similar to that. Mm. I think maybe that's one of the things Long John's hit on the head for fast food.
Maybe.
That they got right to what it's supposed to really be like. But it's a light, fluffy, almost like a tempura batter, but it's not tempura. It has more crunch, more flavor to it. The fish is definitely bigger than Long John's. You go to Long John's, you get those tiny little fillets up here. The diamond O fish. Up here, you get, like, the giant chunk of filet. Where I grew up, when we talk about fried fish, it's a much different experience. And this is, I guess, where we're going to segue from the awesome fish and chips places we've had up here to places down by Pittsburgh. But I also wanted to add, fish and chips isn't just for restaurants up here. You can get it at a lot of chip trucks, too.
Yeah, and usually most, like, TGI Fridays places will have fish and chips on the menu as well.
I know. The Fry Hive up by Country Produce. It's a little chip truck out by Country Produce. We have a picture of it. We'll put it up with the podcast.
Yes.
It's the cutest little chip truck I've ever seen.
It's got a big bee on it.
Yeah, they did airbrushing with a giant bee on the side. But they do fish and chips. I think Cook de Fries, Captain Cook de Fries, do they do fish too?
They might.
I thought they did. Maybe they don't always. But a lot of places, the chip trucks have fish as well, depending on the truck. But down, like, Pittsburgh area, you still have a lot of that culture where we don't eat meat on Fridays because we're whatever religion. So the big thing down there is fish fries on Friday. And it's not the same kind of fish. The batter is more like a breading. And it has, like, a darker, softer texture to it. It doesn't crunch up as much. It doesn't have that light, fluffy texture to it.
Didn't we have it at that place that your parents took us to?
By the mall?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was that called again?
I have no idea.
It was really good, though.
Yeah.
We'll include it in the links.
Well, okay, hold on a second. Let me pause and call it back. Okay, we're back. I'm sure you didn't notice a difference. Bowser's. It's in Beaver County by Beaver Valley Mall, and it's like a little bar place, and they do really good fish there, too.
Yeah.
Huge portions.
It was tasty.
But that's stereotypical Beaver County, Pittsburgh area fish.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of places in that area that you don't get fried fish unless it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And those would be the places like the VFW Post, the American Legions,
the community centers that were frying fish that everybody could eat together.
Yeah, or just in general, they sell it then because that's the only way to get it. Some of the bars still do the fried fish all the time, though. But that's more like what I'm used to growing up, and the only time I had fish like we have up here was at Long John Silver's. Fortunately, I love Long John Silver's. I don't even really consider it fast food in my heart because it's so tasty. I know it's so bad for me, and I try to limit how much of it I eat when I'm down there.
Honestly, how much longer are you possibly going to cook a fish?
Yeah.
It doesn't take that long.
No.
So it lends itself to fast food.
It does lend itself to fast food. And yeah, it's bad for you, but then I look at my grandfather, who's like 80 mumble 80-something, and he eats it all the time. So, and that's actually the only time I really got Long John Silver's growing up was with my grandparents. And we used to go and get the little fish meals with the hush puppies. And
happy memories there.
Yes. And I used to get my grandfather's hush puppies because he didn't like them. So, and my grandmother would always steal the hush puppies, and we take them home and eat them cold because they're good. But anyway, but back to the VFW Post, one of the best places I remember growing up to get fish was actually at the Ambridge VFW Post. And they sold it, I kid you not, by the bucket.
Like people get a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Exactly.
You get a bucket of fish?
You get a bucket of fish. And they have these little, like, fish chunks that were like 4 inches by 4 inches by 2 inches or so, give or take. So you had these little like chunks of fish that they would fry, and it had this dark breadcrumb like batter on it, and then they give you like a bag of buns to go with it, so you can make sandwiches out of it if you want.
Hmm.
And one of the other things they'd always have if you went down there and ate is they'd have hot sauce and ketchup on the table, because up here you get, there's malt vinegar everywhere.
Yeah.
There's white vinegar everywhere, which is, again, a British kind of thing to do. The only time I ever had vinegar on fish was at Long John Silver's. Down in the States, around where I grew up, what you would do is take, at least what we would do, is take hot sauce and mix it in with your ketchup, and then dip your fish in that, or just put the hot sauce on the fish.
Hmm.
So I, you know, I'm like 3 years old, sitting there pouring hot sauce all over everything. No wonder my taster's off as an adult.
Now, you've been to the South. Do they have a equivalent fried fish thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is like fried, well, fried catfish is pretty big down there.
Fried catfish is pretty big,
but not for
southern
the same
areas.
Reasons, I guess.
No, you would want to be on the coast, really. Once you get south of Pennsylvania, unless you're on the coast, you really, as far as I could tell, again, somebody, if I'm wrong, please correct me, you don't really see fried fish like what I'm thinking of. And again, it's mostly because of the ethnic area.
Yeah.
That they had to offer meatless options for people who, Catholic and Eastern Orthodox, didn't eat meat on Fridays. And for the longest time, it was payday Friday. If we didn't go shopping, we got fish. I mean, if we did the shopping on Saturday, we go get fish in the area instead of going out and getting pizza or something. There's also the American Legion in Baden, does a fish fry. Again, really good fish. And the portions, usually when you go to someplace like that, are Aaron-sized portions.
Now, do you have to be a member to go to these things, or do they advertise it for the general public?
They usually advertise it for the general public. You don't really have to be a member unless you're going to go and drink. If you're going to go and order something from the kitchen, they're fine with that.
Hmm.
Now, if you're going to go and be social at the bar, usually you have to have at least a social membership.
Right.
But you don't have to have been a member of any armed forces to get a social membership at a VFW post or a Legion.
That's
my dad was a member of both. I think he still was a member of the VFW post. I'm not sure if he's still a member of the Legion. It's just a social membership. You pay your fee for the year. You support the Legion. You can go down and have a beer or whatever. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I, again, really weird childhood memories. I have a lot of fond memories of the VFW post in Ambridge because it's a block away from the high school. And what we would do is when my sister was in the band kids always had to be there early. So my mom and dad would drop Michelle off. We still had an hour to kill at least until the football game. So we'd go back to the VFW post. Mom and dad would have a beer, I'd have a soda, and we'd just kill some time. Or maybe we would eat there with Michelle and then drop her off at the high school and then go back and they'd have a beer or something. Because it was within a walking distance, they got to park the car early. They actually got a parking space for the football game.
Yeah.
And we could just walk back and forth. Another one that I remember very distinctly as being just some of the best fish I've ever had in my life was a bar in Ambridge that we would go to when we were kids with my parents. It's called, was called Mims. It's not there anymore. Mims Bar. And he had really good fried fish, and his french fries were amazing because they were fresh cut, which was a rarity in that area, and he fried them in peanut oil.
Mm, and that makes a huge difference.
Oh, peanut oil adds so much flavor to fish and french fries when you fry everything in them.
Well, I think because it gets so much hotter, it can crisp them better.
Yeah,
you get a different texture.
It really does something for
the
fresh fries.
You get the crunchy on the outside, fluffy on the inside texture. It's perfect.
And it just adds this like background note to the potatoes that you don't get normally. So I get excited when I find out someplace has like peanut oil they fry, and I'm like, ooh! And usually people who are allergic to peanuts don't have a problem with peanut oil because the allergens doesn't come out in the oil. It's in some other part of the nut that's not involved in it.
I was going to add that obviously check with your doctor, but peanut oil actually is usually okay for people that are allergic to nuts.
Mm-hmm. But if you're not allergic to nuts and you want to go experiment with it and you fry a lot at home, give it a shot. It's worth the cost.
Mm.
It's really tasty. It has a high smoke point, if I recall correctly, so you can,
get things
really crisp with peanut oil.
Yeah.
It's a very stable oil. It's very, very good for frying.
Well, that's what a lot of Chinese food restaurants use, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Why their food tastes so good.
In China, when we bought oil, I could only find peanut oil. There was no canola, there was no vegetable corn oil. We could only find peanut oil, which was fine because
canola
it tasted
oil,
great.
Because nobody really wants to call it rapeseed oil, which is what it actually is.
Yeah. So
anyway, I digress.
She digresses from the thing. But
well, we're talking about fried food.
We're talking about fried food.
You can throw in the fried Mars bars, too, if you want.
But back to answering your question, that's actually one of my sister's biggest complaints about living in Maryland, is you can get all the seafood you want, but to get fried fish like she's used to, you can't really find it in that area.
Yeah.
It's not the same. It's a very distinctive
regional thing. Well, it's more crustacean action, it seems.
Well, it's more broiled fish or baked or grilled or what have
grilled.
You, but the batter dipped with that type of batter, even a Long John style, she has a hard time finding it.
Hmm.
So, which is very odd. You'd think, you know, being in Maryland, it's such a seafood center, you have no problem finding.
You think it would be fish fry style fish,
but it's not as easy to find. Or maybe it's just she doesn't have the genetic component to stumble onto this crap. I don't know. Maybe it's genetic. We don't know. Who knows? So, what else do you want to add about fried fish? We could talk about it. We should probably toss in about the one place in Morgantown, the only place we could find non-Long John Silver's good fried fish. The place with the shrimp. She's forgotten already. She's giving me that look of, I don't know what you're talking about. The Flying Fish in Morgantown.
Oh, yes, Flying Fish.
Flying Fish was
delicious.
Awesome. Might as well toss that out there, too, so we hit all the fish places at once.
The Flying Fish started as a seafood deli that was
owned by the guy who owns Glass House Grill.
Right.
Which is a really fancy, really expensive restaurant in Morgantown that obviously we've never been to.
It costs more than I make in a year.
Yeah, it's not that we have anything against expensive food. God knows we've bought some meals in our lifetime that we probably should not have spent the money on. It's just some place that, with all the other places to eat in Morgantown, we never went there because
it was low on the priority list.
It was low on the priority list. There were so many other places that were cheaper that we really wanted to go to eat. I mean, you just mentioned the words Black Bear, and, you know, Sheila and I are, like, there. We teleport, so.
Yep. By some sort of hippie magic, we appear at Black Bear.
By dirty hippie magic, we appear at a puff of smoke. I wish I could do that right now. I'd kill for a Black Bear burrito, but
so
back
flying
to the
fish.
Flying Fish.
And the Flying Fish, actually, it had really good fried fish, but they didn't do English-style chips. They did, like, American-style chips with Old Bay seasoning on them. They called them Krabby Chips.
Oh, they were so good because they were homemade, but they were made their chips, and the Old Bay on the chips really adds something. If you're the kind of person that makes your own potato chips, which is really easy to do, toss some Old Bay on them sometime right after they come out of the fryer, and you'd really be surprised at what it adds to the flavor instead of putting salt on it, because Old Bay has a little salt in it anyway.
Yeah.
But best way to make potato chips, just take a potato, take your potato peeler, and just start shaving off the chips with a potato peeler. You get the perfect thickness every time.
Yeah.
And then they did steamed shrimp there, too.
Oh, yeah, because we always used to order the peel and eat shrimp as an appetizer.
We'd get a half pound of peel and eat shrimp to split, sometimes a quarter pound, depending on how hungry we were. And then, we'd each get an order of fish and chips. Now, on the portion scale for the Flying Fish, and they take cash, Visa, debit, but on the portion scale, I would say it's almost a 2.
If you didn't order more,
you would not be a happy person.
Yeah. I mean, the fish and chips are going to barely fill you, mm-hmm. unless you order the extra fish on the side, or order an appetizer like
an appetizer we with the shrimp on the side, which I didn't have a problem doing because it was so good. They had some other things on the menu, too. They had lobster tails. Cajun blackened lobster tails. I picked those up for us one year for Valentine's Day and brought home takeout from the Flying Fish.
They have clam chowder, but I don't think we ever tried it, but it looked really good.
They had fried clams, too, and I don't think we ever had those either. We always got the same thing because we're boring. No. I didn't mind ordering the extras. They had so many good things there.
Yeah. The prices weren't that bad. No. I mean, it was cheap enough that you could order more if you wanted more.
It got a little pricey when you started to tack stuff on. For the Morgantown area, you were looking for a minimum of $10 to $12 a person. But it was really good, so not the end of the world. Now, they moved. They used to be up by the hospital. They ended up moving across the hallway in the little miniature mall downtown where the Glasshouse Grill is. So they're in a new location, much smaller location.
It's the Seneca Center.
They still do the deli end where you could get all manner of different fresh fish because
take it home and cook it.
Yeah, because Glasshouse Grill would fly it in anyway, and then they decided why not expand this out. That's where the whole thing came from. But it's a much smaller place. But it's still good. Good food.
Yeah.
We went to the new location a couple times before we left. So now, another difference, too, is when you go to Tours and when you go to Bounty, you get canned soda. When you go to the Flying Fish, you get fountain soda. Where you used to at the old establishment, I think the new one didn't have the fountain soda. Which is something I've noticed pretty regularly here, is in Canada, mom-and-pop places don't do the fountain soda thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that is.
I don't know if it's more expensive up here to do it, or it's not as cost-effective on the surf.
It's probably more costly to put in to begin with. Mm-hmm. Sure, you may make it back in the long run, but people would probably rather just go to their local supplier or their Sam's Club and get cans.
Which I've noticed more often than not in the States, places were putting in like a Wonder Wand gun, the little like bartender style gun, or they put in a soda fountain or something. It was very rare to go any place where they didn't have it on tap.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's more expensive here
I don't know.
For the syrup, or people just don't want to lay out the cash for the setup.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
And I'm kind of curious, because it's something that we've always crunched the numbers on, and it's always more cost-effective for a restaurant to do the little soda fountain, because the syrup is so cheap, you get more profit out of it than if you sell cans.
Yeah, definitely.
But I guess up here, a lot of these places are more coffee and tea places, too.
That
which
may,
have something to do with it. I know we get funny looks when we go into a breakfast place and get a Diet Coke with it, so.
Canadians love their coffee and their tea.
Yes, they do. So fish-wise, I think we've just about covered it. If you're going to be in the Pittsburgh area and it's a Friday and you're looking for good fried fish, look for the nearest VFW or American Legion. They probably do a fish fry. A lot of the ethnic clubs do it too, like the Croatian Club, if you can find it. Knights of Columbus do fish fries a lot. It's going to be a Friday thing. You're not always going to find it throughout the rest of the week. Though some American Legions and VFW posts do offer it throughout the week. If you're up in Canada, you don't have to look far to find a good fish and chips place. You can check out some of the chip trucks.
There's a bunch in Oshawa that I haven't even really mentioned, just because they're everywhere and they're all really good. The flat or
the one by Rick, he took us to. I don't remember the name of it, but that was really good too.
Mr. Greek?
Was that Mr. Greek? No, it was by it's another episode now at this point.
Yeah.
So
I'll post the name and the address.
Well, I think once we head down to Oshawa area, we'll do a bunch of restaurants. We actually talked today that we're exhausting all the little places in Orillia in our episodes. By the time we leave here, we're going to have covered all the tiny places that most people wouldn't think to stop at versus the big boys that are downtown, so. Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think.
I like pointing out the little places, the little holes in the wall.
Yeah, but that was just an observation today. We're like, wow, we've eaten at, like, most of the small places here. The Theo's is working its way up the list.
Yeah.
I've heard so much about their pizza. But anyhow, anything else you want to add about fish? Any observations?
Eat some fish and chips.
Eat
They're
some
good
fish
for
and
you.
Chips. They're good for you.
Most Watch places, Harry Potter. Eat some fish and chips.
Most places now fry in trans fat free oil too. If you're concerned about that sort of thing, ask. They will probably let you know up front. I know Taurus has a sign out that they do trans fat free. I don't know about Bounty, which may be why I like it so much. It's probably full of things that are going to kill me.
That makes it taste better.
It makes it taste. The death makes it
the
taste
better. The dangerousness makes it taste better.
Yes, it's extreme sports eating now. Yes. Next up, Fugu.
Yes.
No. So I'm spent.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening. This is Sheila.
This is Tracy.
And we're Zwei Fat Chicks. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed the Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.